Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Holidays on the way. The stress is building. I'm sure you can tell on the freeways. The mass consciousness you can almost determine around holiday time on the freeway by people drive. Think about it. Stress and coronary artery disease, stress and heart attacks. Can you do this? Can you pass this test, this simple test? Today we're going to get into cardiac profiling, the tests that your doctor really should order. But before that, I'm going to ask you, can you pass this simple test? Under stress, can you take a deep breath and dilate your arteries? Well, how would you know if you could do that? That's a question I'm going to ask the audience at the end of the show. Each year, 50% of all your heart attacks have nothing to do with high cholesterol, has nothing to do with plaque, nothing whatsoever. Each year, 50% of all the heart attacks we get on autopsy, when we do the autopsy, many of those heart attacks have absolutely no plaque. There was no high cholesterol. There were no markers. People just went into vasospasms and died. It's called sudden cardiac stress. Anybody can have sudden cardiac stress if they're stressed enough. And what? They can't take a deep breath and relax totally. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. Look at the show we did on the power of breath. You want to add something to your yearly annual physical exam? Add this. How much better or more patent or more connected to your breath are you this year than you were that year? Has your diaphragm opened? These are new terminologies. These are different words. These are realities that are realities. They're medical realities, but we don't live with them each day. Well, I'm going to do a show today on cholesterol because, frankly, as a doctor, I'm sick of hearing questions about it. We need to put this to rest. One out of every five people come in to doctors all over the country with this concern about cholesterol. I still can't believe this is occurring. We've got to do something about it. And the solution is just education. Take 60 minutes, listen to this show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. You know the drill. And understand why you should relax behind the word high cholesterol. First of all, as always, you've got to get educated. What is cholesterol? What is cholesterol? Cholesterol is a substance. It's a fat. We call it a lipid. It's one of the three lipids. We have our triglycerides. We have cholesterol. And then we also have phospholipids. Phosphatidylcholine, phosphatidylethanolamine, so on and so forth. These phospholipids, okay, are part of the structure of the cell membrane, just like cholesterol is part of the cell membrane. If you look at the website, straighttalk.cc, if you're new to the show, get on the radio literature section and take a look. Take a look at the pictures. Picture number two, picture number three. They're pictures of the cell membrane. Say picture number two. Look at the yellow in picture number two. If you're driving and you can't do this, please don't have an accident. Just listen to how I describe it. The membrane of the cell, the skin of the grape, in the picture has these little yellow dots in it. Those yellow dots are cholesterol. You need cholesterol. Cholesterol is your friend. The liver produces about 80 to 85% of your cholesterol. That's right. You've got a natural system whereby you can actually make your own cholesterol. And that's really what determines your cholesterol levels. Your ability to make it, and then your ability to excrete it. Guess what? The body hasn't figured out a precise way to regulate it. More than anything, what you have to understand about the cholesterol scare, and do we have a cholesterol scare? Well, we're going to get educated today and understand exactly why we have a cholesterol scare. But first, understand this. As you can see from picture number two, picture number three on the website, your body needs cholesterol. Why? Because it's in your cell membranes. There's the pictures. There's the proofs. Every one of your hormones, every hormone you make, from your adrenaline to your cortisol, to your estrogen, to your estradiol, to your estriol, to your estradiol, to your aldosterone, to your testosterone, to your dihydroepiandrosterone, to your pregnenolone, to your, and so on and so forth. Every one of your hormones has a cholesterol base. So how is it? Now you got to use your common sense. Remember, common sense is greater than science. Trust that. Take that to the bank. So how does the fact that the body makes 75 to 85% of your cholesterol. Now, that's a medical fact. That is a scientific fact. That is not arguable. Your own body makes about 75 to 85% of your own cholesterol. And from what? The 1950s on, all we've ever heard is your cholesterol's high. That is the single most bankable marker for plaque, fatty plaque development, and ultimately heart disease, which means heart attacks, which means strokes, which means quadruple bypass surgeries, and all the ramifications of such events. Does that add up to you? Well, then what are you taking a statin drug for? Then what are you worried about? Well, I like to present two sides to the picture. I always do. I am in awe of what modern Western medicine has done. I love medical doctors, I love what they do. I even love drugs when drugs are worthwhile. What I can't stand are two things. One, holistic practitioners who don't get it straight and go into some delusion about reality. And the other thing I don't like is medical doctors, allopathy, that doesn't see, that doesn't work outside the box when it's evident they've got to change their paradigm. Cardiology is going to change its perception of reality over the next 20 years. You are going to see this cholesterol situation get straightened out. It's just a matter of time. So any medical doctor listening to this show, understand you're on the right side of the fence. All you got to do is open your mind to understanding how you should be giving the cardiac profile. And my listeners, my regular listeners, my new listeners, make your cardiologists give you the tests I'm going to discuss today. Because it's going to happen anyway in 20 to 30 years. But that's really too late, isn't it? For most of you, if you're 45 or 50 or 60 years old, you cannot wait 30 years to find out just how much plaque you have in your carotid arteries, your femoral arteries, and most of all, your coronary arteries. So are we going to sit back and buy this baloney about cholesterol? Yes and no. First of all, 75 to 85% of it is made in your liver by your hepatocytes. This is why the statin drugs are dangerous. They deplete your CoQ10, but more than that, they start knocking your cholesterol. They start knocking your cholesterol that your body is in sync with. Who's to say that intermittently, based upon, okay, the fact that you're using more sex hormone, you're 60 years old, you have a new girlfriend, and you're out there doing your thing, and you're going to need more hormones, so you're going to need more cholesterol. Who's to say that when you start working out, you don't need more cholesterol? Who's to say that there aren't hundreds of variables that will determine intermittently how much cholesterol your body needs to be making? Body's figured out this system, this sophisticated, very refined, precise system. And you take a statin drug and all of a sudden, when you need that great surge because you're regenerating, because you're recovering from illness, these norms for cholesterol are very, very variable. Just read biochemical individuality. one of the great books of the century, stating that norms change so much. The norm for cholesterol 20 years ago was 250. Now it's 200. Don't tell me that we've got that figured out. So right at first base, what we've got to come to terms with is we don't really know how much cholesterol in any given day or week or month your body's supposed to be making, your liver's supposed to be making. Right there, it's bad. But then again, it's good if you don't get educated, and I'll give you the other side in a minute. So, number one, you need cholesterol for your hormones. You need cholesterol because it's a critical part of your cell membrane. That means all gazillion cells in your body. There's number one. Now, good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. What's that about? LDLs, HDLs. Look at picture number one there on the website. If you can't get to it, let me just tell you that the cholesterol molecule is insoluble in the blood. It's insoluble. Since it's a fat, right, it's insoluble in water. The blood is primarily water. So if cholesterol was just in your blood, if the liver made it, spit it out, and it just floated around in your blood, it wouldn't move. It would precipitate out of solution like a big ball of plaque. And the body couldn't use it. The blood really couldn't move it. The cell couldn't take it. All the things that cholesterol is supposed to do, cholesterol could not do as a fat by itself, insoluble in the blood. Great. You got that. Perfect. So what the body does is it makes what we call a lipoprotein. LDL is a low-density lipoprotein. HDL is a high-density lipoprotein. VDLD is a very low-density lipoprotein. IDL is an intermediate density lipoprotein. Some of you guys who think you've got the cardiac edge, you get the VDLD tested and you get the IDL tested. And it's just, it's not really what it's about. But I want you to understand today in the listening audience the difference between LDL and HDL. LDL is a low-density lipoprotein. That means the cholesterol that's part of that low-density lipoprotein is attached to another molecule called a lipoprotein made in the liver. They're all made in the liver. Mr. Liver. Blood stasis, Mr. Liver. Plugged biliary ducts, Mr. Liver. Oxidative stress to the organ, Mr. Liver. How stressed is the liver, Mr. Liver. Is the total sum of all the things the liver's doing creating a burden for the liver, and therefore it judiciously falls short? It prioritizes the 1,600 functions per day, per second? Think about it. At any rate, Mr. Liver makes your cholesterol. Mr. Liver makes your lipoprotein. That LDL, low-density lipoprotein, what that means is the cholesterol molecule is attached to a lipoprotein so it can move in the blood. So now it can navigate its way. There's the fatty part of the lipoprotein, which loves that cholesterol, and then there's the hydrophilic part, the watery part of that protein, of the lipoprotein, that allows the cholesterol ball to navigate its way through your blood to get into your cell. So cholesterol needs a friend. It's called a lipoprotein. A low-density lipoprotein is a cholesterol ball or a molecule that's 80% cholesterol and just a little bit protein. 80% cholesterol, just a little bit of protein. That's like a big, fat glob of lipid, of cholesterol, being navigated by a little tugboat of protein. That's the bad cholesterol. That's the cholesterol. Well, it's not really bad, is it? That's the cholesterol that your cell membrane wants. That's the cholesterol that your testicles and ovaries want to make their hormones. That's the cholesterol that your adrenal cortex wants to make its aldosterone, to make its cortisol, to make its adrenaline. LDL is the cholesterol carried by that little tugboat of protein that your body needs. Now, it's 80% fat. Just hold that in check. HDL. high-density lipoprotein. That's the same structure, very similar, except in reverse. It's a little ball of cholesterol carried around by a huge tugboat of protein. It's the opposite. It's 20% cholesterol and 80% protein, somewhere thereabout. It's the reverse of your LDL. And we say the HDL is the good cholesterol and the LDL is the bad cholesterol. This is kind of baloney. We'll clarify. But it's kind of true. We'll clarify. Life's not black and white. Life's gray. If you can accept the grayness of reality, then you can prosper in reality. But if you want it to be one way or the other, if you want it to be black and white, well, you're going to make it rough on yourself because life's not that way. Now, we know that about many facets of life, right? Well, it's the same thing in medicine. And if you're looking for the black and white explanation on cholesterol, you're making a mistake. Whether you're a nutritionist running around saying, don't worry about cholesterol, or you're an allopath running around giving people statin drugs when their cholesterol's 220 and they wouldn't have heart disease coming if they whatever. Either extreme is weak. And remember the theme of the show, don't live in dogma. Capitalize on your common sense. Just because you're not medical, just because you couldn't ever, ever think about science, just because all these things you think are in the way of your health, just use your common sense. Use your snooter. Get educated enough to make an intelligent, objective assessment. It's all I ask you to do on this show. Take an hour a week or an hour during the week to get educated and let the common sense hit you hard. What you are is you're an investment broker for your health. You're developing your entrepreneurial sense of how to wheel and deal in the health marketplace because that is what it is. Don't turn medicine into your daddy because that's what you do. Let me tell you, you do it. You look for your doctors to be God. You look for your doctors to know everything. You look for your doctors to just spit out the answers in 13 seconds to subjects that some very bright men spend the better part of their entire life trying to figure out. Don't do that. Understand that the way to navigate through this cholesterol maze is get educated and then develop your common sense. So, common sense says your body makes a ton of cholesterol. Common sense says that the LDL cholesterol, that LDL is good cholesterol because it's the cholesterol that goes to your cells. It's the cholesterol that makes your hormones. HDL, well, we call that the good cholesterol. Now, what's the deal here? Why are the guys in white calling LDL bad and HDL good? Well, very important to understand. And in the reality of science, any science, one science, not holistic versus allopathy, that's nonsense. That division is ridiculous. Good science teaches us that the HDLs represent the lipoprotein grabbing onto oxidized cholesterol. The HDL is grabbing onto excess cholesterol. The HDL, if the body's making the high-density lipoprotein, it will circulate looking for the oxidized cholesterol, which we'll get to in a moment, which is the real culprit. The HDL, the high-density lipoprotein, is running around, and it'll take the excess cholesterol. If the low-density lipoprotein gets cholesterol, well, it's going to take it faster, but the high-density lipoprotein, the one that's different in protein structure, has a different configuration. If the concentration of cholesterol, period, starts to rise too much, the high-density lipoprotein will take it. Your high-density lipoprotein is your good cholesterol. Why? Because when we see lots of it, it means that that cholesterol is not on the way to the cell. That cholesterol is not going to stay in the blood. That cholesterol is going to get flushed out through the liver, dumped into the gallbladder, and excreted out your body. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. Get to the radio literature section. Click the images for today's show. and get educated. If you've been listening to the show for a long time, as many of you have, understand this. We're back to Mr. Liver again. We're back to biliary patency. We're back to where it all starts. Can your gallbladder, does in the great variety of bile flow, does it have enough patency, enough ability to take that HDL cholesterol, let the lipoprotein dump the cholesterol into the hepatocyte, into the bile duct, and can you flush it out as fast as it goes and needs to be in the blood? Can the liver filter the bad cholesterol from the blood? That's the question. What do you need? Well, you need the good fats, the HDL fats. What do you need? You need a liver that works. What do you need? Reasonable defecatory reflexes. You've got to poop it out. So if you're constipated, your cholesterol's going to go up. If you don't eat any fiber, which will bind the cholesterol in the intestinal tract, like oat bran, psyllium husk, back in the old days, red rice yeast, different things that'll bind up the cholesterol will make sure that 50% of it that hits your large intestine won't recycle back into the blood. You want to lower your cholesterol to the extent that you need to. You want to lower the amount of oxidized cholesterol in your blood? Have a second bowel movement a day. You want to lower your cholesterol? Guess what? Put things in your intestinal tract that will what? Bind it up so 50% won't circulate back into the blood. Look, 50% is recirculating back into the blood. I'm not making that up. Do the Google search yourself. Understand, in standard medical physiology, any textbook from Guyton onward, it will tell you most of your ingested cholesterol is esterified. And esterified, that means we add an ester to the cholesterol, and it's poorly absorbed. And yet, cholesterol's recycled. The liver excretes a non-esterified form into the digestive tract. So when it comes from the bile ducts, after it's filtered out of the blood, it's non-esterified. And about 50% of the cholesterol is reabsorbed by the small intestine. You want to do something about that? Bind it up with fibrous foods. Done. You want to do something about that? Poop after every meal. Imagine that. No, it's normal to defecate once every 3 days. Sure it is. I have a bridge for you to buy if you're interested. Where's the common sense in that? It feels good to go to the bathroom. I hope it does. And if one goes to two, goes to three, well-formed, correct, where the abdomen flattens out, not bloats, but flattens out per unit bowel movement, guess what? You're moving that cholesterol out way faster. Guess what? If you have biliary patency, if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's show number 20. Get on it. Buy a subscription, by the way. What, 130 shows? $25? I don't get it. Do you people think I'm selling? Do you realize what's in 130 shows? We've got more information in that 130 shows. You take those shows to heart, and your life will change. You come to my school, your life will change. I've proven it. I've got two schools that are running on 2 years. Those schools and the people in them, pat yourselves on the back, gang. I don't want to hear this thing about you don't have the time. You know what you don't have the time to do? From 60 on, sit in a wheelchair. Because that's the reality for too many people. Heart disease is the number one killer, and half of it's just because of stress. The rest of it is fatty plaque, calcific plaque, but mostly fatty plaque, which you should know you've got 30 years before you have a heart attack. So what do? You live in misdirection. Are you new to this show? Sorry about you guys that listen, but we've got new people listening to the show lots every week. Are you new to the show? How much misdirection are you suffering? You're concerned about your cholesterol because your cardiologist said it's a little high, and you have heart disease in your family? Have an extra bowel movement. Were you told that? Do a gallbladder flush. When was the last time your loving cardiologist said, you know, Jack, your cholesterol's pushing 300. Where's your gallbladder at? When you do a coffee enema, do you get bile? If you swallow half a cup of olive oil, do you want to go to the ER room? You've become so nauseous. Didn't you ever read the book? He gave his life to it there. Andreas Moritz, the great gallbladder flush. He wasn't kidding. There's lots of books. Wilson's book, Are You Stoned? It's on gallstones. They're everywhere, the whole de Clark gallbladder flush. Do you really think we're making this up? Do you really think people that credentialed and intelligent need to do this just to deceive people? Do you think any of these people get rich? If you want to get rich and you've got good brains, be an investment banker. They get rich. Doctors don't. So please understand, holistic medicine, if you're new to this show, isn't coming from the wrong place. It's coming from the right place. What you get on the fringe out there in holistic medicine is a lot of eggs in your face. That's the reality of it. So don't reduce it and marginalize it to a bunch of crackers, because they're not. Guys that say do gallbladder flushes because life will change, we have science behind that. The purpose of this show is to give you the science. Anybody want to argue my point, feel free. Get on the website, get to the comments section. Go ahead. I dare you. Tell me I'm wrong. And don't say something stupid like studies show that people that do gallbladder flushes never reduce their cholesterol. Because that's nonsense, because no studies are done. What you do is learn it from clinical experience, getting people to do gallbladder flushes. What you do is learn that gallbladder flushes, when your gallbladder's taken out, or what you do is learn when your gallbladder's taken out, your cholesterol goes up. Onward. 50% of that cholesterol goes out your body. The other 50% goes back in. Gallbladder flushes and defecation. There's your cholesterol reduction. Next, that cholesterol, whether it's LDL or HDL, has a mission. The mission is to nourish, or in the case of HDL, it's to take it out of the system. There's your regulation pattern. Now, what's plaque about? Let's forget cholesterol for a minute and just go to the inside of your coronary arteries right now. And I'm going to go into the inside of your coronary arteries. And on the inside of your coronary arteries, we're going to look for plaque. And we're going to find it. Say we find fatty plaque. Do you know how high the probability is that that fatty plaque is also in your carotid arteries, the arteries in your neck? Why aren't we looking there? Now, that's not 100% causal. In other words, if you have plaque in your carotid arteries, it doesn't necessarily mean you have it in your coronary arteries. And if you have it in your coronary, it doesn't necessarily mean you have it in your carotids. You'll understand why in a minute. But there is a high relationship between the two. The ridiculous thing, what you ought to get angry about, where you're getting ripped off, is that we're not placing a massive amount of attention on the carotid arteries. But let's go in there and look at the plaque. You and I. What is that plaque made of? Well, it's made of cholesterol. Yeah, cholesterol. So how couldn't we care about cholesterol? Well, the truth is, it's made of a certain type of cholesterol. It's made of oxidized cholesterol. Oxidized cholesterol. What is oxidized cholesterol? That cholesterol, that LDL, that big cholesterol ball that little tugboat pulls around, that big ball of cholesterol is shot at. It's attacked. It's beaten up. It's kicked in the head. Look at picture number 7 on the website. There's a big ball of LDL. And that big ball of LDL is attacked by what? It's attacked by free radicals. So yeah, from last show, a bell should go off in your head. Free radicals, antioxidants. All the free radical damage, the totality of free radical damage, and we'll get into that later on in the show, hopefully, but you know how time goes on this show. All the free radical damage on that LDL, on that cholesterol, all that free radical damage oxidizes it. All these free radicals pull electrons off the cholesterol, and now the cholesterol is electron deficient. Taking an electron away from cholesterol is like stepping on a bee's hive. taking that electron away from the cholesterol, oxidizing it, is like stepping on a beehive. You turn that cholesterol into an angry little animal. It's looking for an electron. Well, that's just it. Where's it going to find an electron? You know where it tends to find an electron? On the endothelial lining of your artery. Chemically speaking, if you take a nice, fat, greasy, old, happy ball of cholesterol and you poke some holes in it, free radical style, suck that electron out, make it angry like a bee's hive as it brushes up against the inside of your endothelial lining of your artery, your coronary artery, your carotid artery, the arteries of your brain down by your feet, the femoral, the arteries everywhere, big arteries, medium arteries, little arteries, guess what? It tends to stick to the wall. Sticks. You can have 100 pounds of LDL. You can have cholesterol at 350 floating around in your blood. And if it doesn't oxidize, because there's just not enough free radicals to oxidize it, then that cholesterol doesn't stick to the wall, LDL included. But let me ask you a question. What's easier to oxidize, the LDL or the HDL? The HDL is non-oxidized. The HDL, the word oxidized is not relevant there. The HDL is carrying that oxidized garbage out of the body to the liver to get rid of it. That's why it's your friend. But LDL, if it's not oxidized, it's not a problem. How do you know? How does science know? How does anybody know? Certainly, if you've worked with people who are sick, you know. Sometimes the body will shoot that cholesterol way up to 300. Because people are craving it, because they're reconstituting their body, because they've lived a life of trans fats, hydrogenated fats, omega-6 fats, all the garbage fat. That'll be the next show. That's right. We're going to do this in a two- or three-part series. I can't do it all in 60 minutes. But after the first two or three shows, you're going to, the great American public, understand what a cardiac profile is supposed to be. And then you're going to take the show and you're going to tell your friends. And you're going to pull them by the ear because they don't have any time, and you're going to make them listen to the show. That's what you're going to do, because you do care. You're not going to listen to people look at you and say, oh, that's all about a nonsense. That's as dumb and ignorant as it was in 1960 when some people said smoking causes cancer. And your medical doctors and all your allopaths and your pharmaceutical companies and all the ignorant people that believe that said, smoking, cancer, this is nonsense. We could do a whole show on the medical faux pas over the last 200 years. Don't get me started on that topic. It's just human nature. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What does that mean? It means be patient when you spread the word. Be understanding. Show the data. I've got five cardiologists on here. Dwight Lundell, Dr. Steven Sinatra. We've got Ladd McNamara. That's picture number five. We've got a bunch of others on there today. Houston, we've got. DeVry. Houston, DeVry, Lundell, Sinatra, McNamara. Those are five internists or cardiologists or cardiac surgeons. Get their books. You think I'm making this up? I didn't pull this fresh out of the lab. This stuff has been around for at least a decade. So you've got the science. So what's your risk? What's the risk at the family Thanksgiving dinner of saying, thank you, I'll pass on the fried skin or the fried gravy. I'll pass on the bread. Think about that. Because it's ugly when people die unnecessarily. It's ugly when you're 70 years old, you just celebrated your 50th, and your husband has a massive heart attack with plaque. I mean, let's get politics aside here. Bill Clinton, that was a good-looking man at 50. Look at that poor guy now. I don't understand. The president of the United States? The president of the United States can't get good medical care? Like somebody shouldn't have gone in there and said, Bill, you're 80% occluded. After the bypass surgery, your life will change. This is science, my friends. This is the science of 20 years from now. So get ahead of the curve. So there you are now. Your notion of oxidized cholesterol, electron deficient, sticking like Velcro to the inside of the artery. That begins a cascade of events that I'm not going to get into today. But you end up with a mass of fatty plaque starting to occlude every single decade the inside of your arteries. Now, number two. The same oxidizing agent, the same chemicals, the same free radicals circulating in your blood that oxidize your LDLs, cause them to stick to the inside of the arteries, also oxidize the endothelial lining of your arteries. The inner lining of your artery has a skin, and that skin is oxidizable by free radicals. So if your LDLs are oxidizing, the inner lining of your arteries are oxidizing. The two go very hand in hand. Negative reciprocity. You understand it. Take yourself at work in the corporation. One person calls in sick because they got the flu. That overloads the system. Now you got to make up for that person's work. Now your whole office is straining. Then somebody else gets sick because of the stress of making up for the first person that couldn't come into work. And then the public sector comes in to buy your service. And sure enough, what are they met with? The mess. Your office is a mess because of negative reciprocity. Negative reciprocity is a concept. It's a concept in physiology, in pathology. Once you give oxidative stress to cholesterol, you're going to have implied in that oxidative stress to the inside of the endothelial lining of your arteries. Now, the body's got all sorts of safeguards to this. We've talked about some of them, but we're not going to get into that today. Today, we're just going to get reality here. Both endothelial lining of the inside of the artery and the cholesterol ball, both are being oxidized, which means they're sticky, which means they want to create some sort of relationship. They're annoyed and they're looking for resolution. Guess what? The cholesterol sticks to the inside of your artery like Velcro. Yeah. You know that thing, you take it apart and it hurts? It makes that sound? Velcro. That is the formula for disease. That is the formula for disaster. That is how this occurs. Why can't we get that one straight? Why can't the public get that one straight? Why can't our doctors get that one straight? Sure, they have it straight. They do not have it straight. If they had it straight, you wouldn't be told your LDLs are high. Therefore, we've got problems. What we ought to do is be telling people your oxidized cholesterol's high. What we should be doing is saying we've tested for your oxidized cholesterol. Okay, the cholesterol controversy. Picture number five. Ladd McNamara, L-A-D-D McNamara. Look him up. He's got a book, The Great Cholesterol Conspiracy. In that book, even look him up on his website. Labs that test oxidized cholesterol. Page 12 there, picture 12 on the website. The CMB Laboratory. Look it up. CMB lab, oxidized cholesterol. You go to your cardiologist, tell your cardiologist, I want the test for oxidized cholesterol. When the cardiologist says these tests are non-conclusive, just tell the doctor we want them anyway. If the doctor says my lab doesn't do it, say, doctor, then you're my cardiologist, and like you said, you care. And since you care, you're going to go to the CMB lab, and you're going to, under your supervision, ask for an oxidized cholesterol panel from me. And then the doctor is going to take your blood through his lab. That's going to be sent at his request to that lab. There are labs all over the country that will test oxidized cholesterol. The oxidized cholesterol test will become mainstream, but things take time. So just be ahead of the curve. Think ahead and you'll be ahead. We have a test to determine what your oxidized profile is. And you got to add to that homocysteine. And you should add to that CRP. But you know what? The golden mark is the oxidized cholesterol test. That is where, first and foremost, you ought to be tested. Now, it gets better. It gets better because we've got a bunch of other tests. Yes, we do. One of them is simple. You can do it right now. It's called the Arcus Senilis. It's called literally, look at your eye in a mirror, or look at your partner's eye in the mirror. Yes, sitting there at the breakfast table. Doesn't matter if you just came back from the great run. Look at the iris and look for that white ring. Sorry, you can call this as nonsense a test as you want. You are wrong. You are dead wrong. It is another serious marker for either fatty and or calcific plaque building up somewhere in your system. Take it to the bank. Picture 13, picture 14, picture 15. If you're driving, the iris, when you have a chance, the colored part of your eye, is there a white ring around it? Look at grandma and grandpa. You're going to see a lot more of these things with grandma and grandpa. I kid you not, in the last 10 years, I have had at least three or four conversations with three or four different people and urged them to go to their cardiologist because they're plaquing. And in all four cases, all four men were dead within 6 months. Now, that doesn't mean it's you. But I can tell you this, a strange gloss, again, you're not going to get this one, but a strange gloss over the eye, like a white, not a white, a transparent haze over the whole eye, backed up with this white ring at the edge of the colored part of the eye, the iris, add those two together, I guarantee you many, many, many times, something's wrong with your arteries. Take that one to the bank. Look in iridology, Arcus Senilis. Now go ahead and talk to your cardiologist or your internist about it. And they're going to sneer. Then ask them why they don't do an oxidized cholesterol test. Maybe they'll sneer. But this is something they shouldn't sneer at. I'm going to give you another three or four tests. Because cardiologists do these, but not the ones you go to. You know why? Your health insurance may not pay. You know why? They're cutting edge. You know why? Human nature. It just takes a long time for it to sink into people. Here's one that you should get, a computerized arterial pulse waveform analysis. A computerized arterial pulse waveform analysis. Look at picture number 10. It's a picture of somebody taking one. It's non-invasive. Great! And you know what it's going to tell you? It's going to tell you what the ability of the artery is to expand to blood pressure. The arteries are constantly expanding as the heart goes into ventricular systole, as the left and right ventricle pump. The ejection fraction sends a force into the inside of the artery, and that artery starts to expand. If there's a little plaque, it doesn't expand normally. If there's a medium amount of plaque, it doesn't expand normally. If there's a lot of plaque, it doesn't expand normally. Somewhere along the line, somebody working this test is going to say, you're not getting the normal expansion. Bingo. Here's one. A carotid ultrasound. Very simple. Lots of you have had them, only you've gotten them incorrectly. Don't take an answer like you're okay. Anytime a technician tests you for something and says you're okay, ask for the precise analysis. Say, on the basis of the ultrasound to both arteries, not just the left and not just the right, both arteries. No one does that. Both arteries. Often that's not done, I should say. On the analysis of the ultrasound, you've got something analogous to that picture number 16 on the website. Are you finding that you're at less than 10% occlusion, 20% occlusion, 30% occlusion? What's your estimate? And what's your estimate over a period of years? There's a very direct relationship between occlusion in the carotid and coronary artery disease. Now, is it 100%? If you increase occlusion by 10% in the carotid, does that mean you've increased occlusion by 10% in the heart? 20%, 20%? Is one the same as the other? No. And on that basis, we don't use it as a marker. But on the inside track, there is no cardiologist or internist that should be not clocking your carotid every single year, preferably by the same technologist, and then recording that data and making sure over a decade, from age 60 to 70, those carotids have not changed, because that's a great marker. It's a great marker for what's going on in your heart. It's a great marker for what might ultimately become a stroke. Then we've got another test, the carotid interval medial thickness test. It's called an IMT. I believe we have a picture of someone doing an IMT. That's picture number 19. In an artery, you've got a muscular inside. It's called the media, the tunica media. The elasticity of that media can be a real indicator for plaque, because as you put on soft or hard plaque, calcific or fatty plaque, you will not get that type of elasticity in the artery. That test needs to be done. Now let's put this together. Let's put it all together now. Let's just say you're 50 years old and you've got heart disease in your family. Done deal. Right there. And you have high cholesterol. So look at that. Just simple LDL is high. Let's say it's not high, but you've got heart disease in the family. Let's say that one out of three Americans die of heart disease or some ridiculous statistic. And at those odds, how would you pass on an exam like this? This has got to be mainstream. So let's say you're 50, and from Stephen Sinatra to Stephen DeVry to Mark Houston to Ladd McNamara to Dwight Lundell, you've bought into another level of medicine. Add my name to that list. And let's say you have an arcus senilis. Let's say your mom or dad had an arcus senilis. Let's say you get an oxidized cholesterol test, and that oxidized cholesterol is high. Let's say you've done a carotid scan, and you've got 15% occlusion. Not a lot. It's light. Light occlusion in one artery. Let's say you've done another test. You've profiled yourself, and you used to smoke. Or you used to smoke a lot of pot. Let's say you're under a lot of stress and your cortisol levels are through the roof. Let's say you've done other tests, say at Geneva Diagnostics, and your free radical pattern is a little alarming. Let's say you know you're under a lot of stress. Let's say you're only 50, you're still working out. In your mind, you're great. But let's say, out of all these markers, you've got five or six markers that look that way. I'd be monitoring myself every year. Now, let's say you're like this and you're 60. Guess what? I'd be talking to my cardiologist about an angiogram. So let's discuss the angiogram. The angiogram really is the test we wish we could do all the time. If you wanted to, guys, get this. This is fascinating to me. If everyone had an angiogram every single year, no one would ever get bypass, or at least no one would ever get bypass surgery or have a heart attack from occlusion without knowing it was coming. Well, here's the reality. You can't do an angiogram every year. Cost-benefit, there's a little risk involved, because let's say you do an angiogram. What is that? We go in way down in the leg through one of the veins, and we find our way into the coronary arteries. And as we do that, we take these pictures, and we're looking for fatty plaque on the inside of the arteries, specifically the coronary arteries. And if we do that, well, then we know. Now, if you run to ER this afternoon in your spare time and tell ER, I've got shortness of breath and I've got pain in my chest, I promise you within 2 weeks you're going to have an angiogram done, if not that day. But that aside, because of this very small risk of a stroke, and again, you see, this is where the politics comes in. This is where cost comes in. This is where a lot of things that come in, and that's another show. But the point is, this test is not non-invasive. And anytime something's invasive, it's as good as surgery. So doctors, cardiologists, and in part justifiably so, don't do it. But if they have clinical symptoms, shortness of breath and pain in the chest, guaranteed you, if your cardiologist knows anything, you're going to have an angiogram. If you even remotely fit the profile, you're going to have the angiogram done. Now, here's the thing. If you analyze an Arcus senilis, if you analyze any of these tests I've given you, from the arterial wave pulse analysis to your oxidative stress profiles to your oxidized cholesterol tests, and you start to fit the bill, you start moving into that territory after the age of 60 where you should have that conversation. Because all of a sudden, cost-benefit now, formerly not worth the cost, starts to change itself. When you really get into the possibility of stroke, with a full medical team there, ready to absorb the shock, dissolve the clot, and the fact that it rarely happens anyway, well, now you're getting into maybe you need to take a look at this. Here's the bottom line, gang. The bottom line is 1 out of 3 to 1 out of 2 Americans will get heart disease. The reality is that there's way more people that suffer for the rest of their life with heart damage and all the ravages of a cardiac bypass over 10 years than there are people who are going to have a stroke during an angiogram. Oh, how dreadful that it would come to that. Medicine is built on that. Medicine is built on a cost-benefit analysis. What I'm arguing here is for you to understand what I'm saying and start to shift the cost-benefit paradigm to potentially get to the angiogram faster. That's big. That's deep. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're new to the show, 714-850-1077. If you're confused and lost on anything, let me set you on the right track. Call 714-850-1007. Get put onto the right track. I kid you not. If you can't do that, buy the subscription. You've got 130 hours thereabouts. Pick it up. And like lots of healthcare practitioners, general public, health enthusiasts, absorb this stuff. I did not make it up. It comes from much clinical experience. It comes from much knowledge. It comes from much science, more than anything. And it's a whole new world. And it's a world that's coming. Just be ahead of the curve. In 1480, the earth was still flat. By 1520, it wasn't. In 1980, 1970, 1960, it was okay to smoke cigarettes in 1960. By 1990, that was considered forbidden. Medicine changes. The smart money is on be ahead of the curve. Fibrin. Get to picture number 20. Get to picture number 21. Fibrin. Look at that. Look at those pictures. If you can't get to the website, picture all your red blood cells covered with a layer that looks like spider web. Spider web after spider web after spider web. Fibrin is deposited in response to an oxidative process. You do not build plaque into the cholesterol without fibrin. One of the things that bind up the cholesterol balls, the oxidized cholesterol and the inner lining of the artery, oxidized also, that Velcro fit that we're talking about, the body is going to, because of macrophages, foam cells, and all sorts of stuff, I'm going to spare you today because I don't want to get it too scientific, but all the immune system cells that come in there and start gobbling up this snotty mess that's leading to 100% occlusion and posing grave threat to your health and well-being, in that oxidative inflammatory process, the body will start to make and deposit fibrin. You're looking at fibrin. Picture 20 and picture 21. Fibrin. What would happen to plaque formation if the body said every single time to the fibrin, we're just not going to make fibrin anymore. We don't care if there's this Velcro fit and a plaque buildup on the inside of the artery because we're just not going to deposit fibrin. We're not even going to look at this. You know what would happen? A lot. I can't give it a statistic, but a lot of plaque would never form. I can tell you this, it would account for the single most drastic, dramatic shift in the history of healthcare as it relates to cardiac healthcare. So what does God provide? Fibrinolytic herbs. fibrinolytic herbs. Not something to solely depend on. Not something to just take as a nutritional supplement and say, this is going to break up the fibrin, and we understand because we're educated, this will make sure I don't get plaque, or I don't get a blood clot, or I don't get a heart attack from fatty plaque. Don't do that. Don't take your bottle of aspirin. Don't take your circuzyme. Don't take your notokinase. Don't take your serratiopeptidase. Don't take all these different things that are fibrinolytic, that break up fibrin deposits. Don't do that. So I'm a holistic practitioner. I like to teach people's bodies to optimize their potentials to stay young, to prevent disease. Because that's what the body will do. Not me. I'm the mediator. And fibrinolytic herbs are fantastic. But I have a problem with statements like, take this herb and you're done. You don't have to worry. That is nonsense. But I would tell you, definitely invest in fibrinolytic herbs. Can you catch that distinction? If you can, you're in my club. If you can, you should come to my school. If you can, you should buy the website. If you can't, maybe you need to wait another 10 to 20. You'll get it sooner or later. Are you a sheep, or can you think for yourself? Are you listening? Are you new to the show? One out of four is new to the show every single week. Are you listening? Don't be a sheep. Be a thinker. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. Get to the website if you're just listening on the radio show. Next week, very important, we're going to talk about the herbs. We're going to talk about, can we melt plaque, or is that a complete and total myth? 714-850-1077. If you're lost, make the appointment. Get set on the same, on the right track. God bless you. See you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.